designated to Peter,
as well as to Dave, in that coming back as he has done from holiday, he would have been bubbling over and wanting to preach to you this morning. But he very kindly, lovingly stepped down. And I feel I'm one of the most privileged men on earth. I don't know whether I'm different from other men, but all I want to do is to keep shouting glory. Praise the Lord. No, I haven't wept a tear. No, I'm not sad. No, I'm not putting on a face. God has really done his work in me. Most Christians are only hanging on by their eyebrows. Don't want to boast. But it's true that when you give yourself up to God, he becomes rock in you. A compassionate rock. Marvelous, isn't it? Mind you, people have rung me up and said, "How are you?" I said, "I'm fine." And then I said a little bit later, "Well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong." Because most people seem to be right when they break down and cry. And they think it's right. I said, "I don't quite know whether I'm going to run into it in this coming week." I said, "But I'm absolutely fine. And rejoicing in the Lord." I also said to Brother Dave that just give me a little time. I'd like to testify before the church. That's all. But then he, in his heart, I expect he thought, well, knowing my father-in-law, I'd better give him a longer time than that. And so, here I am. Somebody rang from across the seas saying how sad they were and how they commiserated. He said, "Are you going to speak on Sunday morning?" I said, "Yes, I want to give this testimony before the church," thinking then that's all it would be. "Well," he said, "have it recorded. I'm going to play it to my church," or something like that. So, beloved, thank you for all your love. Thank you for God's grace. We triumph over death. If you can't do that, when your loved ones depart, you've got a long way to go yet. And this is the thing, half Christians, the destructive thing. They're probably worse than those that are not Christians at all. Of course, I know that ladies do weep a little more easily than men. But there it is. Whom, having not seen, we love. Our Lord Jesus. And I was thinking, sitting down in that chair there, and remembering that what I preached on last Sunday morning, expecting to be preaching to a congregation of about 1,000 or 2 this morning, the other side of the sea. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's done it. Wasn't it Sunday morning's sermon? How wonderful it is, beloved. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Thou art with me. "I'd rather than thy staff, they comfort me." I didn't need a man to throw his arms around me, or a precious sister, or a daughter to give me a laugh. He comforted me. Of course I'm grateful for everything else, but I want to bear testimony to the working power of Jesus Christ. And I want all the world to know it. Because sure enough, if the Lord doesn't come, where my wife lay the other night, that's where you will lie. Oh, not in the same hospital, not on the same bed, but you will lie there. And as we were near the end, I said to someone, I've forgotten who it was, go and call them all in. Let them see the passing of a saint. Let them see it. And I said to one another, now you make sure that when you lie there, you go like she has. You make sure that you're the biggest fool that was ever born if you don't. How wonderful it is. People snatch at money, snatch at marriage, snatch at courting, snatch at houses, snatch at cars, snatch at everything. They're all evanescent. They're not reality. God is our reality. Amen. And I was asked, what will you do this morning, Dad? I better say it was one of my daughters. Are you going to stay for the meeting? I said, yeah, if I can. But if not, I shall say my piece and go out. Because, you know, you're supposed to be overcome. When I am, with the love of God. You're supposed to break down because of everybody else does. And I remember people saying to me in the past, I can't take this service. The relationship is too close. I must import something. I said, well, I buried my mother. That's a close relationship, isn't it? So I should probably bury my wife. Hallelujah. Now you come and join me this. I remember when we buried my mother, the clouds were dark. And we looked up and there was a great rainbow in the sky. One of the most vivid rainbows I've ever seen. Whether it was put on to me, I am one of God's favorites, of course. Whether it was specially put on for me, I don't know. But that's where it was. And the only people, the only things that were weeping were the clouds. Well, let me tell you a story. In a moment I'm going to turn to scripture. We were in Canada, my daughter and I. Gone there, as I've already said, for some preaching engagements. And we got a phone call. It was on hold because David had phoned over to tell us the sad news. And immediately it was played, you know, once you have an answer phone, you're a slave to it. You understand that? As soon as you get in the door, you must put the answer phone on. You are. Now you check yourself. Oh, somebody might have phoned us. Well, I don't trust poor people that haven't got an answer phone. You see, you willingly and willfully addict yourself to an answer phone. Now you check it out, see. Of course it might mean money for some. Aha. Well, we played it. And here was a time you could be thankful for it. So we got the news. And we couldn't do anything that night, obviously. It was late. And in the morning, I'm telling you this because I suppose I'll take it as a compliment to me that you want to know all about it. Mm-hmm. All right. You do want to know, and in the morning we got up and discussed it. Did you sleep? Oh, yes. Have you been sleeping? Oh, yes. I was offered a sleeping pill last night. It's still on the door where it was put. And somebody who took one wished she hadn't. But there you are. No, I didn't need helping to sleep. I didn't go over and over and over the ground. I learned long ago how to commit to the Lord. And it's over your mind, too. Most people are victims of their minds. Can't get away from them. Over, over, round and round. No rest. Son, daughter, if you're like that, you need baptizing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm baptized, are you sure? Baptism is total immersion, including the mind. Now God wants us to understand these things. So anyway, we talked it over, and the host was where we were staying, knowing we would want to come back home. Said, what are you going to do? I said, oh, we'll go back home. Disappointment, oh, all right. So away we came, because he was able to find us two seats and book them provisionally and wait till the insurance cover came through. They're victims, if they can't move unless they get permitted from London or something. So, there's slavery in the world. Oh, well, we've got to look after our money. You see, that's it. And, we got on the plane and came home. I never knew a flight go so quickly. It was marvellous, and we got off the plane, and we went to see Judith to check up that we were doing right, because she's the senior, you see. And we went down to the hospital, and there she lay, breathless and obviously again. So we stayed there, but she couldn't, because they'd just given her a wash and she was exhausted. So we left her and went back home, then talked a little more, prayed a lot more, inside, and then went back, and there we stayed. And it was obvious to us all that something tremendous had to happen. The specialist came along to talk to us, and he advised that we should have to have her leg amputated because blood had clotted. I'm getting the repeat back into my ears all the time, but said he'd been treating her, hoping to disperse a clot in the leg. Especially strong drug, the strongest they knew, to try and get rid of it, dispersant. But it didn't happen. And he said, well, to save her life, we would have to amputate because of gangrene, you see. So he said, but you go away and think about it, give you a minimum of 3 hours, and then I'll come back and see you. So we went aside, I and Judith and Carol and David and Tim, who happened to be with us. You know what I mean by happened. We went inside, we talked, we agreed that we should ask the Lord to take her home. And we went into the chapel and we held hands and we said, oh Lord, just about this really, take her home. You take her, Lord. That's right. We went out and informed them of what the decision was. And they thought it was the thing, because they always sort of hold out hopes, but her heart wasn't strong enough for it. And so we just gathered round and watched her sinking, and we prayed. And I had the privilege of starting to sing, "The Lord is my shepherd." So we sang it through, and she sang it with us. The lips just moving. And then the sound was coming too. And when we finished that one, we sang another one. Ride on, triumphantly. Thou blessed will ride on. Faith, pilgrim sons, behind thee take the road that thou hast gone. He always wins with sighs of Christ. To him no chance is lost. God's will is sweetest to him when it triumphs at his cross. Ill that he blesses is our good. Unblessed good is ill. And all is right that seems most wrong. If it be his sweet will, may you be able to sing that if a dear one of yours goes. May you. So this did that with Bible readings and singing and prayer. We watched her speak till only her lips could move and no sound would come out. And then she went. The house doctor came in, not the specialist, and the sister, and the nurse. And they looked at the machine that was registering faintly on things. And they said, you don't want to sit watching them. Pulled out all the plugs and left them. We sang first of all in a ward, a side ward, like four beds. And that was that. And we had a wonderful time singing. And there were tears in the patient's eyes. And I said to one of them, I beg your pardon, I hope we didn't disturb you. Oh no, she said. Oh no. And then they came along very graciously. I want you to know how good and kind they will be to you if you're good and kind to them. And stop grumbling. And they said, would you like to go into a side ward on your own? So we thought it might be best in case we made too much noise. Oh, I don't mean weeping. Praising. So they put us in a side ward. And there we had the last wonderful hour, or just about, together. And she went to be with the Lord. And I was sitting in that chair this morning, I thought, now, how wonderful, you know, when I was preaching about the Good Shepherd, you know, last Sunday, you know the New Testament position. It says the shepherd goes until he finds the sheep. Well, the sheep was saved then. But then it dawned on me afresh that he said, he put on his shoulders and carried it whole. Yeah. If you're saved, he'll carry you home, and if not, he will not. Because you will not put yourself in the position where he could do it righteously as well as graciously. He came and carried her home. And we just stood and prayed and worshipped God, triumphing over death. Yeah. You would have loved to have been there. At least I hope you would. And how wonderful it is to know that. She's just gone on ahead. She's younger than I should have gone first. But there it is. But there came a time when I just told her what the opinion of the medical profession was. You have to have your leg off, dear. And we couldn't imagine her with one leg, because she couldn't have gone to any prosthenics or anything like that. No. At her age, they said so. And I said, you're going to be with the Lord, dear. And she went quiet. And then she said, better than I go than you go, dear. And that's been her attitude all her life. Now, you women, are you listening? And you men, are you listening? Because she gave up everything that the ministry that God had given me should continue. You consider it, you women. She never held me back. I know many men have been held back by their wives. Oh, good Christian woman. Oh, yeah. Good believers. Here, then, is the tragedy. The clinging vine. Instead of a supportive bastion. I want you women to know that you can destroy your husband easily by just being so very womanlike. But we went together on. That's why we were in America. Canada, for because of that. And so, there you have a little, in brief, some of the events were too numerous to tell all of them. You notice a person's attitude, you notice a person's tears, you notice a person's tone, you notice whether they want to be in there or outside looking in on such occasions. Of course, they can give 10 legitimate reasons for what they do. But you can't hide. The Lord wants us to pass into this glory. I want to tell you, I'm living in it this morning. I'm living in the glory. I have triumphed over death. I couldn't do it, but someone did it for me, and he's given that to me. We can all have it. We can all have it. Of course, you can be merely human, and everybody will sympathize with you and think you're wonderful. Or you can be superhuman. I don't mean this way. For that's what the blessed salvation of God does for you. It makes you above the normal human being. So I use super in that sense. How tremendous it is to be able to laugh at death. I've been rung up this morning, people saying, heard the sad news. Well, it's not the sort of news that makes you giggle. How wonderful it is to know the complete emancipation of your humanity, your soul. Or does it make you hard and indifferent? Well, if you think I'm hard and indifferent, I beg your pardon. Isn't that, friend? It's reality. Absolute reality. Now, either you've got it, or you have not, whatever your profession is. Most church going is a cover up. Yeah, people pour this into my ears all along. I'm not accusing anybody of the room, I tell you what I hear all over the world. But Christ in you, that's what it is. If he's not in you, well, I believe he is not good enough. This is why some people never get salvation, they never get written. You know, they believe. But you do understand, you have to believe him into you. That's what it is. If your believing doesn't go as far as receiving, what better are you than others? Well, they're in the same place. They haven't received. They may not even believe. What does it matter? In the end, it's all about receiving. You sat in your seat and said, I believe in fresh air. I believe in the air. And refuse to believe. You don't get it into you. You're dead. It's as simple as that. Believing about it accomplishes nothing except, I suppose, it is better than not believing it. What a glory it is. Now, I'll tell you the text that came to my heart. One of them was this. Let my last end be like his. Now, that was said by a man who'd been hired by a king to curse Israel. And he tried to. He set about cursing the people of God. But because God wanted it differently, now you listen to this, whatever you set out to do, as God sets his mind on, see, you've got to do a particular thing, you will do it. You understand that? And that man hired himself out because he had the manner and measure of a prophet, tried to curse Israel, and he could not do it. And he said, he could see into the future. He knew inwardly the blessings of God on a people. So let my last end be like him. Now, you let that be so in your life. If I may just tell you, as I have, about my wife. You let your last end be like hers. So what Suffolk knows, she hardly suffered anything. I would say to her again and again, are you going to be pain, dear? No. No. About the most uncomplaining person I've ever met in my life. And her own grandson, who's here this morning, said to me, I've never heard anybody speak a bad or a wrong word about Grandma. You die like that. You just die like that. Of course, I made a little bit of a joke on it. Say, well, I've had enough people say wrong words about me. It's true. Because they don't want to hear the truth. Have you, has your spirit risen up against what I told you this morning? So I believe it's not good enough. It's better than not believing, but it's not good enough. Salvation is a revolutionary work as well as a regenerating work. It's marvelous. Hand yourself over to him. He'll change your disposition. He'll change. You see, the thing you call me, this is me. This is what I do. We're a family like this. Yeah, hand it over. You're awful. He'll change you. And God wants to do tremendous things. And until you realize that, friend, you're running the wrong path. Amen. It's nothing to do with psychology and whether you're a bucolic or an alcoholic. It doesn't make any difference. Not at all. Let the psychiatrist mess around in that area. We got power from on high. What do they know about that? They can only deal with the dead. That is, those who haven't been regenerated by Jesus Christ. And that kind of mind. Because they're dead themselves. Of course, there's a lot of things that we would call true. How marvelous it is to be born from on high. Amen. I remembered that great word then, of that false prophet. And in the end, finishing up, he could see ahead. Let my last end be like his. Amen. Well, we stooped and we kissed my wife and walked away and left her. Hallelujah. There's another verse that came to my mind. I won't tell you, although I brought the Old Testament with me. It's this statement of that great man of God from whom Israel came. That is Jacob. He had his name changed to Israel. Prince with God. A man with power from on high. To beget 12 tribes. Marvelous. He was dying. He sent for his son Joseph. He was in Egypt, far away from the land that God had promised him, and he theirs. And Joseph came to see him. And it was also wonderful. Let me read it to you. Do you mind if I do? If you've never been in a service like this before, forgive me. We'll go back into the book of Genesis, shall we? And I'm in chapter 48. But it sprang to my mind without me searching the scriptures for it. Because I once preached upon it many years ago. And I remember a lady that was in the congregation. After her, one of my daughters was named. And she said, I've never heard anybody preach on that before. She was an elderly lady. But let me introduce you to it first. In chapter 48, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, he was next to the king of Egypt, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons and, of course, went to see his father. And it was so wonderful what happened. Now, we're going to read another verse, too. And it's this. Verse 21. Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, but God. I die, but God. When you die, friend, say to yourself, but. You can say but or and. But I've got to meet God. Or you can say, I die and I shall see God. But God. It goes on, friend, on and on and on. Unless the Lord comes, every single one of us in this room is going to die. Could be by sickness. Could be by starvation. Could be by war. Could be by accident. But you will surely die. But, God, how have you been living? What have you done with God's time? What have you done with this marvelous thing we call a body? Who have you given it to? Somebody bribed you for it? Whichever way you may want to interpret the way bribe, the word bribe. You might call it wages. You might call it solicitation. You might call it all sorts of things. What have you done with your body? And who is it that's living inside there? Me. Yeah, but what kind of a me are you? Isn't it marvelous to belong to God? I've been questioning myself. How is it I don't feel all smashed up, Lord, and all broken? I thought I must be hard-hearted. I must be all kinds of things. That's the sort of thing you've got to test yourself, haven't you? But as I said, he makes you a compassionate rock. That's right. Water flows out of rock. I've never known it flow out of sand. Ever, unless there wouldn't be a Sahara, would there? God wants us to get into this great thing that he has for us, beloved. I die. But God. Man was speaking, of course, of Israel, telling Joseph, his son. He'd been the unwanted son, the son of whom the other brothers were jealous. But God had taken him, the poor rejected fish, you might say, of the family, and he had exalted him. Let God do that for you. That's what he'd done. I'm dying, friends. I am a dying man. You know that, don't you? One of the greatest compliments ever paid to one of the great Scots people was this, that he used to preach as a dying man to dying men. I'm dying. So are you. when you die, in whose arms will it be? I want to challenge you. Because you can get it right this morning. You can come out of all the stuffy Christian beliefs and get into reality with God. That's what you can do. You pay God no compliment by saying you believe in Him. Everybody ought to. But the Lord wants to move us in. And yeah. The man that speaks the message, that's all Israel was, this man Jacob. He'll go. He'll go. But God. So you don't rely on a man, you don't rely on a woman, you don't rely on this name or that name, except the name be Jesus. And you can say, He is my Lord and Savior. Now, this Jesus won't affect you any more than if you say lamppost. God is right down to earth. Don't think Jesus is a talisman. Don't think that He's some sort of magic thing. If He's not living in your heart, you don't belong to Him. Glory, isn't it? I like this gospel. I die for God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the church, I just wanted to speak to the church this morning. I know if I should go within a week, you've got two good men as elders here. You've got plenty of brothers and sisters here too. You remember that. I'm a privileged man. For instance, I just said I want to have Timothy, gives me the rest of the morning. I'm privileged. I know I'm privileged everywhere I go. I know that. But I'm just a frail human being like you. What God can do with you, He's gifted. He can give you all the gifts He wants you to have. Mm-hmm. Don't try and hide. So the Lord moves us on. Because the devil will give you a bit of cigarette paper to hide behind if he can. Didn't our first parents hide behind leaves? Fig leaves? So the Lord moves us on and on and on. And then I could say the clock's racing too. I want to come into the New Testament, beloved. They must have known I would have a lot stored up inside. He knows me. I want to look with you into the second letter to the Corinthians, beloved. Isn't this wonderful? Will you listen to me, friend? Will you let me read it into your heart? I'm in the fourth chapter. Verse 15, all things are for your sake. Do you know this morning, beloved, and I'm a nobody, I am here for your sake. Whatever God has given me to say this morning, it's for your sake. It's for your sake, friend, that I'm standing before and talking to you this morning. I know it's for my own sake, too. I dare not flee from any gift God has given me. And I take responsibility for it before Him. And that's why I have to travel. Did I ever tell you the time when I said to my wife, not so long ago, after she was really poorly, I sat down one day and I said to her, dear, I have to do what I'm doing. There is a higher thing than human love. There's a greater relationship than a human relationship, and she knew it. I have to do it. What, you're going to get beaten up if you don't? Oh, no. He gives the drive of the Spirit. You have to. I preach because I have to. I preach it because it's my life. And that's what you do. You do the things that you have to do because they are your life. Take it in. You are mastered by that miserable self inside. We're not all miserable. Oh, glory. It was good to see. I wanted to get up here this morning just after David released me to come. Or released himself from this. I wanted to say, sing with me. That's what I want to start off. Blessed Spirit, sing with me. Can I? Could you? I mean, if you were in my place. I'm not boasting. Yes, I am. I'm boasting in Him. In His glory and in His strength. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory or boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did plenty of that. Isn't it lovely? All right. Let's read on. All things are for your sake, that the abundant grace that is of God might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. The affliction through which we pass, sorry, all be working for me. All of them. Working for my family, they'll work for you too if you'll join in with one spirit with us. See, you can live in a realm that the person sitting next to you knows nothing about. Your neighbour, perhaps your in-laws or your parents, children. They don't know, brothers, sisters, they don't know anything about it. They eat the same bread as you do and sit down at the same table. That's the same conversation, but they don't know. There's a gulf fixed that you'd better cross in this life, because you can't cross it afterwards. How marvelous it is to read this. So our outward man perish. The inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While, now this is the thing, you've got to be looking in the right place, see? Won't work unless you get your eyes fixed right, even though it's a possibility for you. It works while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen, temple. The things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of gold and house. Not made with hands. And he goes on, for we groan, so on. You know what Paul was talking about, don't you? He himself had been a Jew.
He ceased to be a Jew when he got born again. He belonged to the no earthly tab nation.
He knew about the tabernacle. And he knew that there was a time when the tabernacle was taken into a house called Solomon's Temple. Now you, are you listening to me, friend? You are something I can't see. You are spirit. It'll depart with your last breath.
If you die,
you are spirit. And your spirit dwells in a tabernacle called the soul. It's the flimsy place in which you dwell. It has to do with emotions, ups and downs and ins and outs. It has to do with all kinds of things where you could have filled the ear, your own ears and everybody's ears with curses. You could have done that. That's your soul. That's what Jesus Christ has come to save. That's right. And it dwells in a body which you think is solid. Okay. It's the first thing to dissolve this time. That's right. So then what? Will you, spirit, soul, you've been tabernacling in for these years, will that go to dwell in God's house? In my Father's house, he said. How many mansions? If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And that earthly body in which he has dwelt, tabernacling here, word was made flesh, and tabernacled among us. Okay. He would have rotted in the grave if he'd have been an ordinary man. But he raised it up. But the spirit that was in him, he dismissed before dread death, as we may call it, took hold upon him. Wonderful. All right, spirit, I'm talking to you inside your body now. I'm talking to you inside your soul. I'm talking about the galvanic power of your thinking, your feeling, and everything else. You. Who are you? What are you? To whom do you belong? Oh, you have a soul that you can engage and to destroy, I was going to say, rock stuff and all the stuff of the world. You can fill your things with the emotions and feelings that you have because you have a body that has this sexual ability or whatnot. And you can fall in love with this or think you do and fall out of love with it. Like sunshine and rain. What are you going to do? I am woman. For those who watch you die, if you die, praise God that you've gone. Oh, not because I want to get rid of you. That's what we did. We stood and worshipped God as though we would have been here. I hope that hospital will never forget what a start. You're going, friend. The minutes are ticking away. You're going. So am I. And my wife said, you go, dear, to me. That's on the ministry. Don't stay behind. The doctor called at the house before she went, and she said to him in my presence, when I said, well, now look, I'm going across the ocean, and so on and so on and so on, and I just want to know how my wife will be. She said to him, in my presence, he's got to learn to trust me to the Lord, hasn't he? Talking about me.
That's the kind of wife they have. If you haven't got a wife like that, get... No, I won't tell you. I mean, get rid of the disposition that makes her a wife that won't go with you like that, man, if you're worth going with. And you can get rid of it. And you can get rid of it. Friend, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through, or what you haven't been through. You can get rid of it here and now. When you're willing to admit it, you need it. When you're willing, then, don't build yourself up on what you believe. Build yourself up on what you are.
What are you?
Well, I tell you what I am. I am a spirit man indwelt by the spirit. And we're one. You've got to build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Of course, everyone says, oh, that's the gift of the spirit. That's good. Those are the people that don't know. They talk Pentecostal talk or something like that. It's in the reality of what it's all about. Eternal life. To be had here and now. Or never at all. Really? Oh, yes. Oh, I don't mean this minute. I mean in the now, in this earth period. Got to sit down. So, do we know, sing with me? Do you? Right. I may have forgotten. I'm allowed to forget. I'm going for 82. So if you can play it, could you know it? All right, I'll start it. Sing with me. Sing with me. Blessed Spirit, sing with me. Sing with me. I can hardly hear you. Blessed Spirit, sing with me. Oh, the Lamb of song shall be. Better write out the words and stick it in the book. Better than a lot of these other things that are going on. May the Lord bring us all into His fullness. That's my prayer. If I could give you what I have, I'd willingly do so, because I find that the more I give, the more I get. Let's pray. Time's gone so quickly. It's going past for you too, friend. It's ticking away. Father, we love you. We love you that we discover that all you say is right. That you do in human beings what this book says you will do for those that put their trust in me. Now, Father, let thy blessing in the measure that men and women can receive it, or young people, let it come upon them. For it's like the sunshine, it's all around. It's like the air, it's all around. It's like the sky above. It's all around, and it's for everybody. We thank you, Lord, that that's the kind of God you are. You do not channel it in mean little capillaries or veins or arteries as the human body is confined to. But we bless you as you give in abundance. Hallelujah. Now let hearts overflow with joy. Now let thy peace that passes all understanding possess hearts and minds. Now let absolute conviction of salvation flood into hearts. Lord, now let thy name be glorified. For that's all we want. And as we step out upon this unknown road through this week, glorify thyself in us, Lord. Glorify thyself. I know that's what Dolly would want, Father. Just that. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for things unspeakable. Just wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? And sing. I love thee, Lord, and I lift my voice to
Lord Jesus Christ.